Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas, joins us now. Todd, what's up?
Not a whole heck of a lot. I want to make sure that everybody gets their World Cup quote in today, since you guys said it will clearly be neglected on these airwaves until they crown a champion.
No. We did a thing a couple days ago. We had listeners call in and suggest which team should be the 3HL World Cup team, and that we would all follow that team.
Which became the ultimate result that you guys would follow?
Well, somebody made a case for, how do you pronounce it, Uruguay? Because that's the team that you like. But we went with Belgium.
You went with Belgium, huh? Hoping that the debutants are able to accomplish something on the international stage they haven't been able to do.
Yeah, they've got a striker with a cool name.
can you pronounce his name? That becomes the biggest question, Brett.
Lukaku?
There we go. See, we're making progress here. We're going to turn you guys into soccer files in no time, well in advance of Nashville's debut in MLS.
So what are Belgium's odds here to win it all?
By virtue of their 3-0 win over Panama to kick things off, despite a slow start in the first half, they're around 8-1, and when you look at the results for some of the heavyweights, Argentina, of course, tying Iceland, Germany going down 1-0 to Mexico, Belgium has kind of slid up there in that second tier behind only Spain and Brazil, who are the two teams in the field that have odds shorter than 5-1.
Before we'll do more on the World Cup, but I'm curious with the NBA draft coming up tomorrow night. Todd, does Vegas, do the sports books make any kind of significant money on the NBA draft prop bets?
In comparison to the NFL, it really is a blip on the radar. And I think a lot of that because the NBA draft doesn't get nearly the same hype or build up as what you see for the NFL. But to be quite frank, I mean, it's the same problem that's plagued college basketball ratings throughout the course of the regular season. Most of the names just aren't household. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about guys who've been on campus for a year, maybe 2 years max. Yes, we know the name DeAndre Ayton, but Arizona's run in the NCAA tournament was short-lived. Trae Young grabbed all those headlines, but was scoring a lot of points in Oklahoma's non-conference schedule. Everyone was tuned in to college football over, you know, college basketball. So it just doesn't resonate with the recreational bettor, and oftentimes it caters much more to a sophisticated and sharper bettor who thinks they have ample opportunity to exploit an inefficient market.
Well, that's what it looks like, Todd, is it's sort of like if you knew a lot about Sun Belt football, right? You'd think, shoot, I actually know about this. I can make some money. That person that really feels like they know the NBA or an insider, that feels like a place where they could make some money.
And when you look at the way this draft may play out, Mickey, it's one or two dominoes that can really impact a lot of things behind it. I mean, will we see a trade with Kawhi Leonard? How will some of the teams drafting in the top 10 elect to go? Will they keep their picks? And if you can project where some of these teams are going to make moves, then it allows you to slot other things in behind it. But when we look at some of the numbers that are out there, I think you have to try and identify some of the players. But if you guys were to walk around Broadway and talk to some of the most devout sports fans there, I'm not sure they could tell you a thing about Kevin Huerter or Lonnie Walker or even Luka Doncic, who's projected to be a top 5 pick. And as a result, when there isn't fan interest and they haven't followed these players' careers from start to finish, you just don't see the same betting interest from some of the recreational folks that are out there.
You mentioned Kawhi. What's going to happen with that? What's going to happen with LeBron, and do the things happen that line them up together in the same place?
It'd be very interesting. We know Coach Pop out there to talk to Kawhi, see if they can at least look to repair that relationship. And when you look at the way things have kind of played out in regard to NBA futures going forward, I mean, the odds-on favorites, I don't think it'll really come as a major surprise. Golden State to repeat, listed at a price just shy of 3-2. The Lakers actually at 5-1 at betonline.ag, and that's because of LeBron speculation. Those odds have since been pulled off the board. The Celtics behind them at 5.5-1. The Rockets at 6-1, and the 76ers at 6.5-1. Then you see a major cliff to the likes of the Cavs, the Spurs, and then another cliff before you get to the Raptors and Jazz. So if you believe what the odds market is telling you, L.A. becomes a very likely landing spot for LeBron James. It's a question of who else he can bring as his supporting cast.
We've talked a whole lot in the last couple of days about Phil Mickelson and that whole deal. I'm just curious to get your thoughts. Ultimately, he didn't contend. It's not like he stayed in it and won it and cost a bunch of people money or made them money betting-wise. But what do you think about it?
You know what? I was surprised that they made such a big deal. I've been doing that on miniature golf courses since I was like 6 years old, and nobody ever tried to apply penalty strokes to me. But all kidding aside, I mean, you look at Phil, and clearly you saw the course take a toll not only on him, but a lot of the other golfers that were outspoken about it. You just like to see that level of decorum, go through things the right way, and it probably sets a poor example for some of the younger viewers that were out there. But what's always cracked me up when you watch golf telecasts, everything is that the sky is falling and the earth is going to end. Take it for what it is, an isolated incident, and don't listen to Curtis Strange, who basically says this is going to mar everything Phil Mickelson was able to accomplish. Let's not put him in the same bucket as John Daly as far as their golf careers are concerned.
Yeah, that's a little dramatic.
I got to say, though, when I saw him do that, I did wonder what the over-under was for his score.
Well, you know what? When you look there, he was well above that. I think the more fascinating over-under was when he took that short 10-step jog, was his heart rate in excess of about 150 beats per minute? Because Phil doesn't look like he incorporates a lot of cardio into his day-to-day workout routine.
Oh, man. Painful HR on Twitter. Yo, at Todd Furman, how tall are you?
I am 5'11 on a good day. I tried to tip the media guides when I was a collegiate athlete at the Division III level at 6 feet, 160. I'm probably more in that 5'11, 155 range.
All right. I thought you were taller than that.
Yeah, so did I.
You know, if it's my stature that you guys measure me by. Then yes. I tower in at about 6'6", 6'8". But in terms of actual physical presence, I can't walk into a room and command it based on being a mountain of a man.
You're like thinking Fletch. Of you on skates.
Yeah. Todd was a goalie back in the day. British Open, Todd, I noticed that Tiger Woods is the eighth favorite.
Yeah, and I think when you look at Tiger, it's always about perception more so than reality. I mean, his price anywhere from, I've seen as low as 12-1 in Vegas to 20-1 offshore. And you hate to say it because he may ultimately win a tournament, but I really think anyone who wants to take their betting at all seriously needs to have their head examined. If they're going to back Tiger at 20-1, when you look at the likes of Henrik Stenson, Jason Day, John Rahm, and Brandon Grace, all with much longer odds. The handful of golfers with shorter prices, I mean, Tommy Fleetwood, Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, all in that 16-1 range, and then Dustin Johnson, Rory, Jordan Spieth, and Justin Rose will slot right above them. I just think the Tiger is an average golfer at this point. We're going to get excited if he has a chance to make a cut, but you can really make some serious money betting on him to miss these cuts and some of the head-to-head matchups that are out there.
How amazing is it, though, all the cuts that he did make playing in his peak? When you see the guys who are considered the best now, that they missed him, I don't want to say regularly, but a whole lot more than Tiger ever did in his prime.
Yeah, like Tiger in his 40s has missed fewer cuts than Jordan Spieth, who is 24.
Yeah, I mean, it just speaks to his level of dominance and how we all take it for granted while it's going on. You think he's never going to have that fall from grace. He's going to continue to perform at the high level, and it made Sunday golf viewing must-see TV when you knew Tiger was in contention or had a commanding lead, whereas I feel golf loses a little bit of that because whether you love Tiger or hated him, you wanted that polarizing figure, and it's similar to basketball fans who continue to make the case, oh, we want LeBron to retire. He's not as great as Jordan. The reason you're watching is because you want to see great athletes perform at the top of their game. Nobody likes mediocrity, whether it's college football, the NBA, or especially golf and a lot of these majors.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas, at Todd Furman on Twitter. All right, Todd, NHL awards tonight. Is Pekka Rinne going to walk away with the Vezina?
You know what? I really think he's got a great opportunity to take home that hardware there. I mean, you look at some of the other awards that are going to be handed out. It's one of those things that I think the NHL loses some luster doing it so far after the season. I'd almost prefer that they did it kind of in the build-up to the Stanley Cup playoffs. But Pekka was the odds-on favorite. Those odds have long since been removed from the board. I think his closest competition probably remains Andrei Vasilevsky.
Yeah, the NHL kind of does business like it's 50 years ago. We keep talking, why not do any of this stuff right?
I mean, you'd have to ask Gary Bettman if you're able to get to him, and there's a reason that even when he was handing out the Stanley Cup on our ice at T-Mobile, that he was getting booed by every member of the NHL community that was in the building. So he draws it almost as bad as Roger Goodell, but the NHL, I mean, clearly continues to operate in what feels like the Stone Age, and it doesn't appear to be changing anytime soon, unfortunately.
What about the Norris Trophy? PK Subban have a shot?
You know what? I think PK is going to have his work cut out for him there. I don't think he'll end up taking home the hardware. When you looked at some of the odds that were available, I saw him listed as high as 7.5 or 8-1. What is interesting, though, about the evolution of the Norris Trophy, given the way the game is gone, they're starting to put a lot more emphasis on what the offensive capabilities are. So if that's the case, that gives PK a little bit more of an inside track than when you look at what he means to Nashville from a pure defensive standpoint.
And World Cup, where do you find the most value?
I think when you look at some of these teams that have gotten by on tradition and pedigree, the Argentinas of the world, the Germanys that may not have the current form indicative of what the market is basically suggesting. So many people love teams that struggle in their first game. They assume they have to bounce back. But when you only have three games and you're putting a collection of superstars together that compete against each other at the club level, you can often find all sorts of opportunity to go against them. And when you look at some of the biggest favorites we've seen so far this tournament, if you blindly bet against them, including Uruguay today, that was a massive favorite and one-nil against Saudi Arabia, and Spain, who was a major favorite against Iran, you'd have a 6-2-1 against the spread record if you faded favorites of more than $2.
Interesting stuff. Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it, man.
You got it, guys. Have a great rest of the day.
All right, at Todd Furman on Twitter.